Recording in progress.
Oh, look at that.
You know, Sheila had to wipe the dust off because she has not been used in a little while now.
Dude, well,
before we get right into it, we got to introduce ourselves. Welcome to another episode of Tales from the Head. You guys thought we forgot about you. We did. We did. Mm-hmm. We had to actually go to someone and tell us, like, hey, you did 75 episodes. You need to go back and start doing them again. So luckily, my amnesia is gone, and here we are. So how you doing today, Danny?
I'm doing great, man. It's been a while. I mean, first off, it's been like over a month, maybe a month and a half since we did an episode of the of this podcast. And but over Zoom, I can't remember when's the last time we did a Zoom podcast, dude.
Like, I think the last time we did fall. Yeah, because we started doing the in-person ones in the fall.
Yeah, so maybe back in October or something, since the last time we did a Zoom call.
I gotta say, you look good.
Thanks, bud.
You know, I feel, man, it's not just me blowing. You know, I'm in therapy right now, and this is somewhat of a sidebar, but I preface a lot. And this was me telling myself not to do this. It wasn't my therapist. So I was like, I preface like a motherfucker. I'm just going to be more confident with what I want to say and just say it.
Just say it, bro.
So that's why I said, I don't want to sound gay or anything. No, I wasn't going to do that. But like, I was definitely going to be like, well, I even told my therapist, because I was going to give a compliment to women. And it wasn't, I was doing it out loud. I wasn't doing it for her. But it was more or less saying like how I respect their threshold for bullshit and pain because of all the stuff they go through, right?
Yeah.
But it was funny because I lost my train of thought and I was like, so I know it's going to sound. And then I'm like, and by the way, whenever you preface things, it's always that. And then I told her, I'm like, and but sidebar real quick, I just said I don't have a lot in common with, I feel like I don't have a lot in common with my dad all the time. He prefaces everything. So I'm like, okay, well, that's one thing we definitely have in common.
There you go.
But I'm like, that is one thing I want to stop. So I was just like, okay, be more confident. Because basically you're just like, you're doing the whole like, okay, guys, prepare yourself for something stupid. Here goes nothing. And it's like, no, just if it's stupid, don't say it.
Yeah.
Or if it is, embrace it, right?
Yeah. I think I told this to you before, and I shared this in different episodes. I always hated the term, oh, no homo.
Oh, like, yeah, it's bad, dude. It's stupid.
I hate it so much, dude. Like,
it's a bro term.
It's like, how unsure of your masculinity are you that you can't even compliment your buddy on his shoes or something because that's going to make you sound less of a man? Like, no, dude.
And to be honest, dude, it does. But own it. Once again, own it.
But own it, dude. So
your huaraches look absolutely extravagant.
My huaraches look on point, on fleek, I believe. Like, I don't even think the kids use that. Hey, by the way, my...
No joto. Just kidding.
No. By the way, my students, for some reason, took... They seem to care about my personal life more than I care about my own personal life.
I saw the comment.
You did?
You should also tell your student, I could tell you're not his favorite teacher. And the only reason I say this, because he really botched your last name.
Wow.
You didn't see the spelling?
I didn't even try. What's on YouTube?
It was Instagram. I mean, it was a very sweet comment.
Okay,
very supportive, very awesome. Yeah. But I saw it and I was like, oh dear.
No,
that is not how you spell Danny's name.
they seem to.
There's an I in there.
There's a Z for some.
They added a silent X. An Enya. No, I'm just kidding. An Enya.
An Enya in there. Betang. but yeah, they were looking through my Instagram and like I have it private now because I realize I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't. Just because the kids are interested.
That is so fucking funny because most people get a private Instagram because they're scared of what their girlfriend or wife is going to see or just like, you know what I mean? You're just like, I don't need you to see all that. And then you're just like, I don't need my school children seeing. Yeah. That's hella funny.
They don't need to see the a million times the stories I put of every time I drink after school or anything like that or all the times I'm eating. They don't need to know all of that. But they went down, you know, they went to my Instagram and they saw, they started following the band. So for some reason, California Crush now has like 10 new followers. And then like,
that's awesome. From
the head also. And they started seeing like the, I've been catching it, and there were a couple were saying like, oh yeah, do you happen to listen to your podcast? Like blah, blah, blah. It's actually pretty entertaining. And I'm like, cool. I like that we appeal to 14 and 15 year old kids.
That is cool because
I'll take it.
You know, dude, because that's my fear is if that demographic thinks I suck,
then what the hell are you doing?
I kind of do suck. No, you know, I mean, we don't. But it's nice to know that a different demo appreciates what you're doing.
So with that being said, if any of my ethnic studies students are listening to this or watching this right now, what up? That's all I got.
Don't repeat. We're using adult words in this show, so you might not want to use them in the classroom. By the way, I'm not your teacher, so I don't care what you guys do, and I endorse anything.
I will be
a fire starter. I will stoke this fire as long as I have to. That's awesome though to have the support that's not just like coming from like your home, and it feels good, doesn't it? When you get someone to tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like our partners have to listen to our podcast because they live with us. But when people who are not forced to listen to us or deal with us every day and they support us, that's pretty awesome.
Dude, I go in when Steph's working, I literally will be like, what are you listening to? And if it's Dateline, I just close her computer. Mm. I'm like, don't do that. You have everything you need, right? No, I don't. Yeah. I don't do that. But it's fun to just be like, no. But she's good about it. Like I don't even bug her because I'm the same way. It's super hacky. Like, hey guys, I just posted my new episode. But that's, you know, the fucked up thing is that's what you have to do. Yeah. You have to be that annoying prick because everyone who's good, that's what they do, or they pay someone to do it. Yeah, obviously, yeah, we're not in the business of paying anybody right now.
We're not in the business of paying anybody. In fact,
paying ourselves would be cool. Yeah. I mean, that's the goal, right? We'll start with that, and then maybe you'll be like, okay, look, then we can get some interns. We'll get some national people on green card visas. We'll figure out what we got to do.
Hey, dude, before we move forward, I have to tell you, congratulations on the Stoop Kid podcast, dude. I know you... that's the other, that's your main podcast you started before and been listening to a couple of your episodes. Like I was listening to the episode with Keith Silva.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, dang, I think we shared this before, but it's always like so awesome to see people that we know, like from our high school days and younger days. And they're just like doing it, you know, they're pretty, mm-hmm. you know, they're doing their thing. And just listen to Keith, how he went from, cause I met him when he was, singing and playing guitar for Forever Temporary. Mm-hmm. I met him through there, and you know, Jonathan McMasters and the drummer Paul also. And I didn't know that actually Keith was the original bass player for Stick Up Kid, and then he kind of passed it over to John McMasters, and then Keith is out there directing and doing animation, which I think is, you know, it's freaking amazing. I'm all stoked for that, dude.
It's insane. Because when I was talking, not to go into his episode too much, because I don't really want to do that, because I'm here with you. But what I was excited about was when I realized, I'm like, dude, I knew the name. Like, I'm like, Joe Murray. I'm like, dude, fucking mm-hmm. Rocco. So it's like, as a kid, it was one of my favorite. I mean, I liked that more than Ren and Stimpy because I wasn't allowed to watch Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, and I never got into Ren and Stimpy. It was kind
of... I like it now, but it's
still a track for me too. Like,
it's fucking creepy, you know? Rocco was like... it's hard to compare them. But it's crude like Ren and Stimpy, but I feel like it's better... It's more well-written.
Mm-hmm.
That might sound kind of shitty. It's just different. But it was just a mind fuck, like you said. It's like... We grew up, and he's my age, we grew up, and he's pretty much our age, we grew up, mm-hmm. you know, watching shows, and, like, I don't think we knew when we me and him went to that animation class that, you know, we didn't know what the fuck. I mean, I'm not doing any animation shit, but I don't think he thought he was going to take it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just his wife, he didn't talk much about her, but I didn't ask him much about her. I didn't know that she's been working on Bob's Burgers for years. Also, oh, really? I didn't know that she's been working on the other one. They got a that production company has a couple. I think Central Park. Mm-hmm. It's the same production. It's the same animators that do Bob's Burgers. They have a few other shows, but she's working on all of them, which is insane. And I'm like, yeah, that's dude, awesome. No small feat, you know, like Jesus Christ. But yeah, dude, that's even more cool. Is like, it's kind of like he found someone to spend his life with that, you know, knows what he likes.
Share that passion. Yeah.
They share the passion. They understand each other's work schedule. So she's not going to want more from him than she, because they both are doing the same thing. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's the good thing about being in an industry like that where it's demanding, because mm-hmm. You need that understanding from your significant other. Otherwise, they're going to, you know, the relationship's not going to work.
So, no, absolutely. And that's something I tell my girlfriend all the time, that I'm so grateful, because, you know, we get home from work and we start venting about like stuff that happened and like kids and just, you know, being towards the end of school year. But I always tell her that it feels so, I'm so grateful that both of us are in the same like careers and same industry, because we kind of understand each other, like the day-to-day process of being a teacher. And you know, especially this time when it's towards the end of school year. So it feels good when, you know, having that partner that understands and knows how, you know, how demanding. At the same time, like when they see that you're just burned out or whatever, they're kind of like, okay, cool. Let me pamper this person for once and not be so demanding. I feel like that's so awesome. And that's like just traits of like just growing up and having like respect for each other, which I think is, you know, it all goes back to what the whole point of this podcast is, which is just being in harmony and just being okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And I think
it's not easy, but
no, but like, and I kind of wanted to touch back on that with this show is, I know we've talked about this, but if we do a timestamp of how we are now versus when we started this, I feel like we're almost completely different people.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
and we're what, coming up in 2 years of doing this project?
Yeah. 2 years in August. No more. Yeah. It's already been 2 years.
Yeah, we're coming up in 2 years with this project.
Wait, is it? No, it's coming up on two. Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah,
on two.
I think we started pre-production of this show back in definitely the summer, like June and July. But I think our first episode was like early August.
Yeah. So.
And yeah, I feel like, yeah, just to piggyback on what you're saying, I feel like if you go back and listen to just how we, our views on the world and how we talked about the world and life and stuff like that. At the time we were very like hopeful, like, oh man, we want to be the change. We want to do this. Where we are now mentally, physically, and with the show, we're definitely different people. I feel like we're definitely more comfortable and we're in our skin, and we're definitely more confident in everything that we do.
Yeah, definitely. I think the confidence is a lot. Our image has gotten better. I mean, look how well kept my beard is now compared to how it used to be.
It's magnificent. Look at that, dude.
I mean, look, you got your fade clean.
Yeah, since I knew we were going to record today, I decided to go cut my hair yesterday.
Dang. You know, well, that.
As well, keep it. Yeah.
You know, that's a compliment.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, you can't, we don't want no scrubs, you know?
We don't. A scrub is the guy who cannot. Who cannot get no love from us, that's for sure.
Well, they sure think they're fine, though, don't they?
Hanging on their passenger side of the best friend ride.
Yeah.
Trying to holler at people.
I hated that growing up, you know, dealing with all that, dealing with all the scrubs. Trying to holler at me when me and my mom's a Suzu Trooper.
And my parents' Ford Windstar minivan.
Fucking discontinued car. So, I know we're on a high note. Let's tackle the sad dead elephant in the room. Jeez, that's a mean joke.
Wow.
Yep, Trevor, Black Dahlia murder, gone way too soon.
Wow, dude. Just in the past month, since the last time we talked, I mean, we lost the great Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters.
Taylor Hawkins, yeah.
Yeah, Taylor Hawkins. And then who else? I feel like we lost the bass player for Dance Gavin Dance.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Also. I did see that.
Tim Fedrick.
Sacramento native band, right?
Sacramento native band, and he was also from Sacramento himself, Central Valley. And it's interesting, dude, because I remember I was driving back from Mexico for spring break. We went down to wine country, and on the way back, I was listening to Ask Gavin Dance, and I was listening to like Coheed and Cambria, and which is funny because Keith also brought up Coheed. Right. And my Monica was like, oh, you know, they're doing a tour together, Coheed and Ask Gavin Dance. And I'm like, oh shit, that sounds like a shred off. And then the next day, I heard the news about Tim just unexpectedly passing away. And then, of course, yesterday, Wednesday, we found out that our great friend Trevor from the Black Dahlia murder passed away also. And from the looks of it, it sounds like he lost the battle versus depression.
Well, I was just going to ask you, because the only thing I have to base that off of is the band post that was the hashtag they used. Because mm-hmm. they didn't mention anything, but it said, I believe it was hashtag suicide prevention, right?
Yeah, and it put the suicide
but
prevention.
I have also not seen a single fucking thing saying what happened yet. So that's also kind of why I know the band put that out there. But I'm like, look, I ain't putting none of that shit out there until I know that's what was reported. I'm not going to say that's what happened. Because my little conspiracy theory, I'm not saying he's one of those deaths, but I'm just saying the news talks about a lot of people killing themselves and not, you know what I mean? So it's just like, to save the image on the person and to just be respectful, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I was going to ask you if you knew anything, but I literally just did a quick search and couldn't find anything else.
Well, I think on the website Metal Sucks, I think they were posting that Trevor's mother passed away in the fall. Oh. And that in recent interviews, he was saying how he was dealing with that, with the death of his mom and like drinking as a result of that. And he also reported that he was suffering through depression and stuff because of the downfall. Now, it's that, you know, what happened. Again, we don't know.
Right, exactly. You could be a depressed person but also it could have been health, because some people die. I mean, I'm stretching this a little bit, but some people, even with depression, they die naturally because, some people die of a broken heart, they say, right? So
just the toll that
realistically,
your body takes on you.
Right. Exactly. Grief is a motherfucker. We don't know. And it's not going to change the fact that he's not here.
At the end of the day, it's such a huge hit for the for anybody in the music scene.
Yeah, you know, good call. Good, well worded.
Everybody has been posting of how people I know personally and bands and promoters, personal friends of mine and people just famous, they're all saying the same thing, how great of a guy he was, open sweetheart, most loyal, like everything about him. And yeah, a lot of my close friends are huge Black Dahlia murder fans, yourself included.
Shit, in high school, kinda, unhallowed.
Yeah, I remember. I remember hanging out with all of you guys, you know, and probably like in Hollywood's garage or something.
Yeah,
and we were just talking about Funeral Thirst, and just wanted to hear Funeral Thirst because that's such a
Michael got me into them because I believe. He was hanging out with death metal people. Like he was friends with some people that I think they were in Closed Casket Requiem. I don't know if that's 100% positive. And I think a lot of them went to James Lick. Also, I might be wrong. But I mean, I know part of the reason why he was into Nile and stuff like that was because Javier Habib was super into Nile because of the fucking drums. I mean, any death metal person knows Nile for their drums. Like, anyway.
Yeah.
But it just, there's so many people, like you said, that knew of their music, like in a Venn diagram of musicians and friends. That is all that matters. Fuck the rest.
Yeah.
But I wanted to share a fun memory I had with Trevor, actually. It's a simple story, but it's fun. I'm trying to remember the exact year. I'm going to say ballpark year, maybe 2012 to 2014. No.
Okay.
Ballpark 2012 to 20. Yeah. Ballpark 2012 to 2014.
Okay. And that's 2 year gap.
Slim's SF.
Oh, great place.
I could probably look it up and give you an exact date, but it doesn't matter. Slim's SF. I remember the memories after the show. Oh, what? Oh, Zoom's being lame and it's telling me I have to upgrade in 10. This meeting will end in 10 minutes. That's weird. Maybe we'll do a two-parter.
Yeah.
That is odd.
Oh, I'm seeing that here.
I'm confused. I thought you could do two people.
Unlimited.
And it's when you invited a third person, it did this. Well, a lot's changed since the last time we used Zoom, Dan.
I know, right?
Jesus. So what the story was that I was going to say before I was so rudely interrupted by Zoom. Oh, thanks, Zoom. Was we were outside. You know, remember how there was that like little liquor store? Not really a liquor store, but kind of like a sandwich shop right across from Slim's. It was like a Greek restaurant, I think.
Yeah.
They sold Snapples. So, dude, I was dying of thirst after the show. I run over there. I go and buy like four fucking peach Snapples, you know?
Yeah.
And
you're just thirsty.
I was fucking so fucking thirsty. Dude, we are hanging out on the street. And, you know, on the street, that's where the trailers are for the bands and all their gears out there.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of chilling. And we weren't doing it purposely to like, let's tap shoulders. Let's see them. It was just completely natural, which makes sense why it worked. And I thought of it as an in, but I didn't do it as a creep. I'm like, okay, I know there's a chance that he'll be like, maybe talk to me a little, but I'll be like, I'm going to offer him a Snapple because they were dope, right?
Yeah.
So I told Trevor, I'm like, hey, dude, Trevor, are you thirsty? And he's all, fuck yeah. And dude, he grabs it and he's all, thank you so much. And he like chugs it like right in front of me because, dude, as thirsty as I was, that dude must have been dying.
Yeah, because he just finished.
And that was it. That was the story. I didn't do drinks with him. I didn't get invited on the bus. But you know what? I wasn't a bitch, and I wasn't like, "Hey, so since they gave you the Snapple, can you sign this?" Yeah, dude, that's so lame.
So I was just like,
it was cool. I interacted with him. I thought, hey, maybe our paths will cross again.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen them live since.
Yeah,
and they've toured a lot.
With those type of memories, it's more. I think it's more meaningful than just like, oh yeah, stand and take a picture with you.
There was no ill will. There was no like, it wasn't manipulation. It wasn't strategy. Mm-hmm. It was purely like a gesture of kindness. It was like, it was a pure moment. It wasn't like, even though I told you, I kind of was like, well, let's see. And, you know, there was a little selfishness in there. Of course, I'm a little starstruck.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, but. As you know from our interactions and just how we tell stories, you're the person that comes into contact with people all the time, not me. So when this shit happens, I get really fucking excited. And one of two things happens. It either works like that or I just go completely like mute. I don't know what to fucking say.
Yeah. No,
and it sucks.
We talked about that before, like, for some reason, I got this reputation that apparently I know everybody everywhere, apparently. And not only that, but, like, I always come across, like, people, the most random people, which is true. I don't know why, but it's true. But, yeah, we talked about this before where I'm more open and more like, hey, what's up, dude, blah, blah, blah. You're more of like, oh, shit, I don't know what to say or, you know, what's the cool thing to say or anything.
Exactly,
because
I'm overthinking everything.
Yeah. And it happens so many times. Like I remember when we went to see the movie Life. It was me and Ray and I. We went to see the movie Life, and then after the show, I'm talking to the singer of the movie Life, Vinny, and we just started talking for like half an hour about soccer, because he's a English Premier fan. I'm also an English Premier fan. And here we are having a good conversation about half an hour over beers, over soccer, and Ray's like, what the fuck, like, How did you just like go and have a phone conversation with homeboy? And I'm like, yeah, we're talking about soccer. And now every time I run into him or every time they're in town, we have like a good hour conversation about football and EPL and Liverpool and Chelsea and West Ham and stuff. So it's great because, yeah, I've never taken a picture with the dude. Maybe I have his signature like on the set list or something, but every time he knows me as a soccer dude from the Bay Area. And
I mean, that's cool because that's an easier way for them to remember you.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, absolutely. It's like a bookmark. They see so many people, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, dude, another thing also to go back with the compliment you told me earlier. First off, I really appreciate you saying that. Like better, I know, since last time we talked, I was saying how I was in the journey. I hate when you say that term. I don't know why I use that term. I'm in the journey.
Well, what do you want to call it?
I was in my pathway, I guess. Yeah. I was on the road.
How about your exodus? No, that means you're leaving. How about your, what's wrong with journey? You just don't like the band?
We'll use journey. No, yeah, that too. But I guess we'll use journey. But I wanted to.
You could say adventure. Expedition. Process.
My expedition. Yes, I like that one.
Your metamorphosis.
My expedition towards a healthier 2022. Yeah, dude. I've noticed for the past like 2 or 3 weeks, I've been under 280, which is huge for me because.
Which is not huge.
It's not huge.
No, it is. Like it's huge, but months. It's not. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not huge. Though, yeah.
That means I dropped like over 20 pounds already. And then I think I told you this in the very last episode we had to get in the backyard of your house. I was like, yeah, dude, I think one of my goals for before the end of the year is like to run a 5K or a 10K or something. Mm-hmm. And just this past weekend, dude, I ended up running one. Unexpectedly, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna sign up and stoked that I did it, dude. Like,
that's a big feat. Sure.
Yeah, dude. I'm not gonna lie. Like, at first, I was like pretty unsure about it, like, because you have self doubts. You know, you have self doubts, like always. I'm like, no, dude. What if I come in last? Oh, dude. What if I look like a dumb out there trying to run? Or like, what if I only run for a little bit and end up, you know, you have all this like.
You're like, dude, don't worry. If you come in last, everyone will already be gone.
That's, you know, that is a good point. Also, yeah. I never thought
about no one's waiting around to cheer. You know what I mean? It's funny, though, that we think that. They're like, oh, let's wait 2 hours for these slow people.
But I think I was super nervous leading up to that. And I was like, I've noticed I was even making excuses. Like, oh no, maybe I won't do it or blah, blah, blah. And like Monica was encouraging me. She's like, dude, just do it. Who cares? It's a fun one. Like, it's not even like, it's just a fun 5K. Like, you got this. And
they all should be, right?
It should be. But you know what it is, Coop? It's like the things that we always talk about is like imposter syndrome and like that voice of the negative voice that always keeps in the back of your mind. So luckily, I had a great support system and I did it. I was actually surprised at myself of, you know, my goal was like, all right, as long as I do, like, if I do the 5K under an hour, I'll be successful. And then as I was doing, I was noticing that my average mile was about 15 minutes, which is nowhere close or like something to brag about, but.
It's good, and it's somewhere you can build off of, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great starting point. That's exactly what Monica told me also. So averaging 15, I did everything in under 45 minutes, so like 44 and 52 minutes or 52 seconds. So I was freaking stoked. Again, I surprised myself that I was able to do it and just how much I have pushed myself from like, oh, I'm just going to go walk for like 5-10 minutes to like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go and run now for fucking 3 miles. Yeah. You know?
And Sheila, by the way, when did the Zoom, I want you to look this up, Sheila. When did Zoom start doing this nonsense? Because even Danny said, as an educator, as someone who uses Zoom or used to, which is good. It's used to
a lot.
These motherfuckers, it was three people And then it's 45 minutes. Anyway, Zoom's probably got an excuse. Well, you know, I mean, we weren't going to raise our rates or do this, but you know, the cost of gas is up and the food shortage. You know, go fuck yourself. Okay.
But you know what? I'll also take some heat on that because I know our school pays for like the premium Zoom thing. I probably could just host the call also. But you know what? We're here now.
And that's okay. That's also. I was gonna make a mean educator joke. I'm like, just like a California educator, he passed the buck. No, I'm kidding.
Thanks, Scoop. Appreciate it.
No, it's okay. I got love for my California educators.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm a product.
You're a product of it.
If I'm not proud of what I am, then I'm not proud of that either.
Exactly.
Well, some people aren't. I'm proud of California. Not all of it. But I had to clear it up because California is lumped as one thing. And if you just say a blanket statement like that, it means you love everything. And I definitely don't. But
no.
But
looking at you, North Cal, Jefferson County people.
I mean, dude, I'm just in Tracy. It's fucking San Joaquin. I'm not in fucking Auburn. Yeah. But I did want to mention your shirt reminded me of something. You know Danzig is putting out? No. Let me redo that. Did you know Danzig is doing a farewell tour that he hasn't announced yet?
I heard about that. He said that this might be his last tour because he wants to focus on something else.
Like he hasn't had time to do that.
Yeah, like because
he's been so busy with the Misfits.
He's been so busy touring nonstop.
Or Danzig.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Dude, because his first album came out, I think, 88.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, great record.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Twist of Cain's a fun song. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested because I think, depending on the price, it shouldn't... Obviously, it's Danzig, right? Like, look, he's not who he was. He definitely doesn't have that appeal to play a stadium anymore. But he could probably pull off a really nice, like, maybe a Fox.
Yeah.
Danzig could play the Fox. And that would be fucking dope. I might have to actually shell out some money to go. It's just one of those things, you know, like... Who could say they saw Danzig?
He can probably do the Greek Theater.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely... Yeah, he could. Because, I mean... I'm also just thinking of the bands I've seen there, though. They're really commercial. I mean, Danzig's pretty commercial. It's on the radio. But all the bands I've seen headline the Greek Theater, though, they're, like, almost arguably top 40. But, I mean, he could. He could pull it off. He would have to probably have some help to pull off the Greek Theater. It would probably have to be a bill. I don't think it could just be him.
No.
But that's true. I mean, if you could do the Fox, you could probably do the Greek.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's too much of a... The Greek might hold a little more, but I imagine it's probably not too different.
I think Greek Theater would be a good place. That dude can definitely not do like Shoreline or like Oracle.
No, and you wouldn't want to see him there either. No. It's like, dude, Danzig, Misfits, it's all punk and just it's not meant to be that. Unless it's on a fucking big ass festival in Germany, like Wacken or something, then it makes sense. But like, no, dude. So that would be fun. I want to take my buddy's mom to a show because she's always really good about taking us to shows. It's Dylan's mom. She's the one who took us to the Eagles back when I saw everyone that was alive there. So I told her this year, I reached out to her. I said, will you be willing to let us take you to a show this year? And she said, sure. I said, do you have anything in mind? Of course, she didn't really say anything, which I kind of like, but then I'm kind of like, damn. So I went through and fucking spent like 30 minutes looking up Bay Area dates for the next almost year to finish off the year to see what and who's playing where.
Yeah.
Which was a shitload of information. I'm surprised. I probably missed a couple, but... I was like, this year, on my bucket list for this year is go to a show at the Mountain Winery. And I was thinking...
In
Saratoga,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
they put out a sick-ass lineup for tours this year.
it's really good, and I really want to try and go see Chicago, but the problem is Chicago's on like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is for her Barb, but for me it's easy, but for Steph, I don't know if she'd be able to get off. So the other thing that kind of blows is she's down in San Jose, so the winery's nice because we can pick her up, I can drop her off. If we do the Concord Pavilion, which is the Saturday date with Chicago, mm-hmm. I got to go, what, all the way down to San Jose, drive her up there and drive her back? That ain't going to happen. So I'm like, Okay, Concord's probably not going to work. So I'm either going to try and make that work, but there's plenty of other shows like Santana and Earth, Wind & Fire coming to Shoreline.
Yeah.
That would be fucking great.
I'm kind of interested in seeing Tears for Fear. They're going to be in Concord and Shoreline.
Who are they playing with?
They're playing with Garbage.
That's the only reason I think I was not so stoked about that tour.
Because of that. But I do love Tears for Fear.
I don't dislike Garbage. I just don't. It's not a good enough supporting act for me to want to go. Yeah.
And then I know Smashing Pumpkins just released that they're going to play with, who are they playing with? Pearl Jam? They're playing with a pretty sick band, and they're playing at the Chase. So that'd be kind of cool to check out.
Ooh, they're going to be at the Chase. Okay, maybe I can, maybe. Because they're one of those bands now, too, where I've seen them, and I know how good they are live. And they're one of those bands where they're worth splurging on. So,
yeah.
It's also been 2 years since I've seen them. So,
yeah, almost 3 years since we've seen Smashing Pumpkins.
Well, almost three. You're right. It is almost three because that day was the day Steph found out she was pregnant with Damon. So 9 months later, he was born. He's 2 years old now. So, you're right. That is calendar pretty much almost 3 years.
You want to know a fun fact about that show also?
Huh.
It was on my birthday, August 31st.
Oh, shit.
A Saturday.
It was.
Yeah.
That's a special day.
Yeah, it was the last day of tour, and that's why I bought tickets as a present for myself, because it was three bands that I fucking love and adore. Smashing Pumpkins, obviously. We always talk about the Pumpkins, how big of a band they are. AFI, we always talk about AFI.
That's who the third one was. I was trying to remember. I'm like, AFI, that was it.
I always talk about my love for Davey Havoc, and then Noel Gallagher, who has a very respectable solo album or solo career. But
yeah.
Obviously, he's famously known for being
a prick.
Being a prick, yeah, and hating his brother, but also being the
half of Oasis.
Half of Oasis, and pretty much the one who mostly wrote a lot of the music for Oasis.
Well, I was just gonna say. Half name wise, but like you just said, because he was the guitarist, right?
Yeah, guitar is backup, so and pretty much a couple of songs,
probably most of the work.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, I remember that one, but yeah, dude, I saw that you went to a concert for the first time a couple days ago, right?
I was gonna just bring it up, and I'm how organic of you, Danny. I went to SAC to go to the Ace of Spades. To see Jerry Cantrell, which to people who don't know is the lead guitarist for Alice in Chains.
Oh, nice.
So me and my buddy Dover are huge Alice in Chains fans. Anyway, before I geek out about that, it was one of the first records that really got me into, it was a gateway to metal really, because at the time I was listening to KSJO a lot and they were playing a lot of fucking Alice in Chains. So a lot of Rooster, the first song I ever heard by them was Man in the Box.
Yeah.
Which they fucking played live. But I knew they were going to play it live because my little gear whore ass was looking around the stage. And I was like, oh, look, the talk box is hooked up. So I was like, yeah, they're going to fucking do it. Because they don't have any other fucking songs with a talk box. So I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's their fucking biggest first hit. I was like, they're probably. But the reason why I didn't know is because he's the lead guitarist. He picks and chooses what the fuck Alice in Chains songs they play.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, played like all their fucking huge hits. They played, not in any particular order, they played Wood, which is like arguably their best song.
Yeah.
They played Man in the Box. They played Rooster.
I was seeing Rooster for no reason. I'll be walking around like, yeah,
dude, Rooster. That's such a good song. And then like, and then they also had Sea of Sorrow, which apparently they haven't played in over 30 years live.
Yeah.
Which is a really, really great song off their first
that's
record.
That's a great treat. Yeah. But
I was going to bring up also, it was fun because we kind of made a day of it. It was a Wednesday. I took the day off of work. I said, fuck it. Fuck Wednesdays. Also, just getting the sack after working, like it's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
So me and my buddy were like, let's plan this out right. We'll make a little day out of it. We should have left a little earlier, but I did my little therapy. We were hanging out, and we went to Guitar Center, which was we ended up we were like we're in sack 3 hours before the doors opened.
Yeah.
We spent so much time at Guitar Center that we didn't get in until, so doors opened at 7, show started at 8, he started around 9. We didn't get into the Ace of Spades until 8:45.
Oh, shit.
We were at fucking Guitar Center for 2 hours, which I, it's funny that I'm going to end up talking more about this than the show, but the reason being was because I've been practicing guitar, like, a lot more for the last 2 months.
Nice.
And to the point now where I'm like, I can play Guitar Center and not be and not feel like stupid,
yeah,
and not
be
embarrassed.
Yeah.
But I was in the acoustic room. It was cool. I was playing. I actually wrote a song in the last 3 weeks. And my buddy Dover's helped me polish it up. But it was cool because we were finishing up the song and he was helping me with the song while I was playing this really nice Taylor, and which, by the way, they lock all the guitars that are 1,300 and up now. So you can't even pick them up. You have to, like, get someone to unlock it and pick them up. But so one of the Taylors and this lady, you know, it was a good moment. It was good for the psyche a little. But she was like, do you guys work here? You know, and it was, like, after we were, like, jamming for, like, 5 minutes. So I was like,
yeah.
I was smiling. I was like, no. But it was funny because in my head I'm all, yeah. She thinks we work here. Like, but at the same time, like, if it was a young person thinking that, I'd be like, oh, that means we're douchebags. But since it was an older lady that had no fucking...
No idea. Yeah,
she was knocking on the guitar. She didn't even know where she was. So it felt like a compliment because I'm like, oh, okay. This person who has no idea where she is thinks we work here.
Yeah.
Either she's that delusional or we seem like we work here. So, it was a compliment. I took it that way. But then I also heard her fucking rip one right before we left out of there. And I told Dover, I'm like, that room is treated. And I said, by the way, you can hear a fucking pin drop because of how well acoustic rooms are treated.
Acoustic, yeah.
Dude, she thought no one heard. But I swear, dude, it was a ripper. And I was like, dang, I am so glad we left that. But we, you know, we're tooling around with the amps. They had some really cool Les Pauls, but the main takeaway was when we were jamming plugged in, there was a younger kid that was playing, like, I don't know, some fucking, it sounded like some kind of like modern death metal or something newer, like on the, I don't know. I'm kind of detached from Nunu, but anyway, I looked at my buddy and I was like, so that was us in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So then my buddy's like, what does he do? He decides he wants to fucking try and play what he's playing. But it was funny. We had a good time. We ended up going to Total Wine right after that.
Oh, great place.
A great place because they always have a really good selection of pretty much anything alcohol.
Yeah.
Found some really good beers in the fridge section. I got some, my buddy Michael turned me on to some Russian River stuff a couple weeks ago. Excuse me. So I bought some Blind Pig, some Pliny, which, by the way, they were like $6 pint. I was like, dude, this is pretty cheap. So I got a couple of those. We drank them before the show. So glad we paid like $30 collectively for drinks. Because if
Rather
we would have
like 30 per drink inside,
dude, it would have been, and it would have been annoying. It would have been expensive. It would have been some generic domestic shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so going back to the concert, the main takeaway was there was a shit ton of couples there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just drunk, just drunk couples, though. That was the annoying part. So I did a recording of like 30 seconds here and 30 seconds there of certain songs I like. Dude, it's so annoying because I was showing Steph Rooster, and it's fucking, it's a good memory, but when you rewatch it, all you fucking hear is the dumb bitch in front of me singing it. And it's like,
and you're like, great.
Oh my God, not only are you stupid, but you're drunk. You don't know all the words. Even if you did, you're drunk, so it sounds like shit. And then it was funny because her and her boyfriend or her husband or whoever decided they just wanted to make out for like 3 or 4 minutes. And I really, I was high and drunk a little, and I came this fucking close to being like, hey, you guys want to mess around? Why don't you go get a hotel room? Because I kind of want to watch the show.
Yeah.
And I mean, or just go back. Go like, stop making it out in front of other people. Like, people want to watch, dude. So the other thing was funny was how many, you know how everyone records shows now? I mean, not now, but just in general. Going back to the drunk thing, you know how many fucking white screens and messages screens I saw while people should have been recording the show?
Oh, absolutely. I'm pretty sure.
Dude, but it was like the girl in front of me had her messages open. She wasn't recording. So everyone could just see her fucking bubbles. She's not recording the show, and she's just being a dumbass. And then everyone could see your stupid-ass message thread because you don't have your camera app open. It's your message app. So,
dude, it's like that video I posted.
Dude, it's exactly like the video you posted. It was like at some show. He was like front row, and he had the white screen on.
It was Knocked Loose, actually. It was a Knocked Loose show, and rather than recording with the camera, he's recording with this freaking calculator.
Oh, no, that's right. It was a calculator.
Yeah.
How? I hope it was a joke.
I doubt it.
Well, I hope it's not because I hope that person really is that stupid. But you just think, you're like, but how?
Yeah.
How did you get here? How? It's like Dukes of Hazzard. You're like, well, here they are. It's like, how'd you get there, though? Like, what the fuck
did? Well, here he is again.
How much inbreeding needs to happen for you to get to that point? You know, like.
Hey, I'm gonna derail this really quickly because you just said a key word right now.
Inbreeding?
Yep. There's this podcast/YouTube series I've been watching lately called Underbelly, like White Underbelly or something like that. I'll send you.
Wait, soft? Is it Soft White Underbelly?
Yeah.
Is it all about Blue Oyster Cult?
No.
Ooh, send it to me. Because that was the Blue Oyster Cult's name when they would play small shows before they would play big shows. And they would fake their name and do small venues.
This person interviews like the most random people. Like he interviewed like a couple people who live on Skid Road, couple people like prostitutes and stuff like that. And there's this one I've been just like obsessed watching called the Whites. And what they're like a family from West Virginia.
Oh, are you talking about the Glorious Whites from West Virginia or something?
Yes, yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've only seen bits and pieces, though.
Yeah, I've been seeing, and there's like a guy who's just like barks the whole time. And I'm just like, damn, dude, like, how did we get here? Like, how did y'all get here?
Oh, they explain that.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of coitus.
Look at us promoting different podcasts and episodes rather than listen to
it. Dude, but you know what, though? That shit's almost like 10 years old. So it's not like we're like, I think a lot of people, I know of it already. But it's
just recently he's been going back and like catching up with them and stuff like that.
Oh, it's like okay. So it's not, it's an updated take on it, but that was the original. Yeah, that I heard that documentary is insane, like just showcasing the utter insanity of hillbillies in the Ozarks, basically, right?
Yeah.
Scary mountains. You know, I love me some wilderness, but I stay closer to the city end of it.
In that case, yes, for that reason.
Even in Cali. Even out here in California, man, we got some Okie people out here up north, and Some, we got good old boys here too, man. Like California is a big state.
We got a little bit of everything out there.
We got exactly weather, bitches. No, I'm kidding. But no, but beaches. Like chicas. Well, I had to say that because I'm wearing, you know.
Oh, rest in peace, dude.
I had to fucking drop some Razor Ramon a little, you know,
Razor
dude.
Razor Ramon.
I had to drop some fucking a white dude pretending to be Cuban. I love it.
We're gonna have to do an episode on wrestling and like talk about Razor Ramon, Stone Cold, talk about The Rock and all these fools, dude, that we grew up and they were just like so wrong.
Well, what do you mean wrong as far as a role model?
Yeah, like I'm thinking.
I mean, honestly, but is any pro wrestler a good role model?
Absolutely not. Chris Benoit. Anyways.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm gonna defend my boy a little bit real quick.
I think we already defended him before.
We did, but I have to do it every time because that sucks.
Yeah.
That man had brain damage.
Yes, he did.
But I know you didn't mean it that way. I just have to remind people that was not steroids. I'm not defending what happened, but that was a tragedy that was put in place well before that ever happened.
No, but I was thinking of like Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, Italian dude playing a Cuban with the accent, hey yo, hey yo, and then I want the world, Chico, you know, and then I mean, like,
but how brilliant it was because at the time, like, to popularize Scarface persona, like, dude, I mean, everyone knows that. Everyone knows how dope that was. Because he also popularized the heel a lot more. Because as I've learned more about wrestling, I don't know a lot, but as I've learned more about professional wrestling, the heel is kind of the more respected of the two in the wrestling world because the heel is usually selling.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're selling, you're making the other guy look good. You're making the hits look good. You're making the show look good. You're helping the show fucking run. You're kind of more important than the hero. And what I've learned over my years is the kids grow up and we... Oh, geez. Is that this thing? So that's fun. Shut up. Okay. So it's all, hey, you've done an hour. Hey, Sheila, we're on part two. So they fuck me up. Now I lost my train of thought.
You're talking about the heel is more important sometimes.
The heel is more important because as kids, we look up to the hero and like the good guy. And as a kid, I idolized fucking Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And I mean, within reason. Yeah. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, Macho Man was, there's a reason that man is worshipped because he fucking would, like I explained, sell everyone else. Like everyone that fought him, he made them look better. Like that's a performer. That's what that sport's about is, you know, everyone makes fun of the whole fake thing, but like I heard someone correct the fake comment and they're like, it's predetermined. And, and because the fake aspect doesn't make sense. You watch that Hell in the Cell with Mick Foley and Undertaker. Nothing about that is fake. Jesus Christ. Nothing about that is fake. Nothing.
No.
And he's still getting his fucking neck adjusted for that fucking match he did. But
yeah, and Mick Foley, like, the most memorable things about that is Mick Foley selling the hell out of, like, everything. Like, he pierced, like, homeboy pierced his cheek, and he's purposely, like, sticking his tongue out of his cheek to show the carnage. And
dude, and he was rolling around on the tacks on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just such an amazing, and then I think the real MVP when it comes to wrestling has to be the King and Jim Ross. Just the commentaries on those.
Oh, Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's just son of a bitch. You know,
the cool thing though is that's what kind of made me want to be like, I need to check out AEW because JR is the commentator for AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, that was Raw. That was pretty much the golden era of professional wrestling in our generation.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the early 90s was really cool, but the Attitude Era and WCW in the late 90s, the early 2000s, Jesus Christ.
That's the most
we witnessed history. And I don't think the kids now, I mean, they look up to like Randy Orton's and all these people now, but who's their flashy fucking guy? Like, no one is nearly as dope as Stone Cold, The Rock, The Undertaker. I mean, holy shit, the fucking amount of people that were still wrestling when we were watching it. And we do need to do an episode on that, because we're clearly, I've got some passion for it.
Oh, I still have some passion. I was just talking to somebody about when was the last time I stopped listening to or watching wrestling, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty much towards the end of the Attitude Era.
And then,
but,
and then she's like, it's okay, we can still have a second date.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I guess we can move in.
She's all, no one's perfect. I guess this is the part of the conversation where I list the mistakes I've made.
let me go ahead and put some of my lists of things. It's funny that you bring up concerts, because that's one of the reasons also why we're doing this episode via Zoom on a Thursday on a school night. Actually, this weekend I'm going to a festival down in SoCal. I'm pretty excited for it.
What's it called again?
It's called Cruel World. And the headliner is Morrissey, so hopefully he shows up. And I know Morrissey gets a bad rap.
Don't jinx it. You jinxed the shit out of that right there. No, I'm kidding.
But he, in the past couple of years, he's just like him for his art. I guess that's what we got to say about Morrissey. But it's going to be cool. Like, we have, oh, you got 10 minutes left.
I know,
we
told
have,
me.
We have Blondie going to be there. Devo's going to be there. I'm super excited to see the Violent Femmes.
Ooh, Blister in the Sun. That's the only song I know by them.
Yeah. Who else is going to be there? The Psychedelic Furs.
Oh.
Johnny Robbins' band is going to be there. I can't remember.
Not the Sex Pistols.
Not the Sex Pistols.
I know.
What is it? Public Image Limited. Thank you, my Public sister.
Public Image Limited. You're going to put Sheila out of a job.
Yeah, I got real-time assistant over here.
Sheila who?
Yeah.
Watch your shit, Sheila.
But yeah, dude, they're going to be there. A bunch of bands, too, from that, like, goth era. Bauhaus is going to be there, so.
Oh, wow.
I'm excited. It's a two-day festival. Saturday, originally it was going to be one day Saturday. Sold out right away, so they opened up a second day. Same lineup, same time, same people. So,
dude, that's fucking cool. So I'm excited. You know what would be nice about that? Crowd control.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the same lineup, the same people, that allows everyone to either go that day or the next day. There's not going to be people double dipping so much.
No, and it's kind of like, and the day we're going, because we're going on the Sunday date, tickets are still available, so that lets me know that it's not going to be so packed,
right?
Which I'm all for that.
Yeah.
And then I think their curfew is like 10 o'clock, so that means it's going to be ending a little bit earlier, which, I mean, doesn't matter. I took Monday off anyways, but it's still going to be like great to be able to go to sleep before midnight, not like 1 or 2.
People forget, too, a lot of these guys playing are old.
Oh, dude, I'm ecstatic to see the demographic on this. It's gonna be all like 30.
It's gonna be a lot of white people. It's gonna be a lot.
Well, you'd be surprised.
I would be.
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna go say.
I'll let you prove me wrong. Show,
it's gonna be a majority brown folks.
No.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I would be. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're saying majority. I know there's a huge.
Right.
I know there's a lot of brown people in LA. I just feel like they probably have other things to do that Sunday than going to that show. Yeah, I'm not. This isn't discrediting it, but I'm saying there was a demographic at the show I went to as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love Alice in Chains, but the demographic was 40 and up.
Yeah,
and they were all so. But you're. I mean. There's going to be minority. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not going to say it's going to look like a Trump rally. But what I'm saying is, I think you're going to see a lot. It's going to be an interesting demographic, just because it's all like new age slash goth music.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you are right in a sense too, because the goth following is really big in the Latin community.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, dude. I want to, if you could take a picture before the show starts, you know how you do those pre-pictures, and then we could do like a Where's Waldo, and we'll be like, okay, so that clearly is a group of white people. No, no. But no, I think you might. You could be right. I don't know LA that well. I just, when I hear the word Devo, dude, I immediately think Japanese people are white as rice people. I'm not thinking, but that's one. No one's going for Devo. They're like,
no one's going for Devo.
But I mean, Blondie, that's going to be a lot of white people.
Yeah. I'm all for Blondie.
No, I'm cool with it too, but that's Blondie is fucking, that is, I mean, how much more white can you get?
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, dude, Morrissey, that's going to give you some diversity probably.
That's going to give you, that's bringing in all the diversity right there.
You're getting all the Darias from different shades.
100%, dude. I think that's a great summary. That's the expectation right there. There's all these different Darias from different shades of Daria.
There's mosh pits, and then there's the indifferent pit at a Morrissey show.
50 Shades of Daria.
They're like, I feel indifferent. I don't need to collide with you.
Nah, dude. And so I'm excited for it. And it's funny because we started this episode talking about how much we have changed since we started this podcast. And even since the last time we talked, how much we have accomplished and how much we have done. I mean, your baby boy is 2 years old now.
Fucking crazy.
I know, right? So it's just been, you're
in a different relationship. You're living somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm running now.
I mean, if you haven't noticed, Danny's made upgrades. I mean, look at his backdrop.
Yeah.
That's virtual. That's 3D. That's a Zoom upgrade. He paid for that, actually. That's not real. Is that real?
This is real.
Oh, it is real.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. I was being a dick. I was saying it was a virtual background.
I'm in the green screen, actually.
Your new virtual background.
I'm repping the Liberty Hits and repping the Sugar Skulls and got my little plants because we're plant people nowadays. And I'm repping the good old Mission Inn Museum and Mission Inn.
I got something. I got something that's similar. Hold on. You said, I think you said they're called Aloe Brije. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep, you sounded super white saying it, but yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Aloe Brije.
Aloe Brije.
Is this kind of like one of them?
Oh,
this one's legs fucked up, though.
Look at this one. Yeah, look at this one right here. A little doggy.
Oh, that's a dog. I think this guy is a dinosaur. I have no idea.
Dinosaur? Yeah. So I got that.
It's a really ugly dog if it's a dog.
Like this, and then we got this little giraffe-looking thingy right here.
That's the one that drew my attention, and
is that Pokemon?
It wasn't me being a dick. It literally looks like this Pokemon because I'm playing Pokemon on the Nintendo Switch now.
Oh, really?
I am a Switch addict. I got it for sports, and I am kicking ass at online bowling, Danny. I am fucking these people up. I am fucking destroying them. I got first place.
I will play you.
Huh?
I will play you some Mario Kart soon, dude. I just brought my Switch.
Oh. I have Mario Kart. I don't know how we link up. I think you got to share like your code or something. But yeah. Jesus Christ, it's on. Awesome. Oh, it's on,
it
dude.
On. It's on.
I have, dude, that's great because I have two controllers and I think we can go 2v2 on both systems.
Ooh.
Cuz you can do
Switch Lite though.
It well, okay.
Yeah.
But either way,
it's on.
It's on because it allows you to do online, which is like going through the server. But then it also allows you to go if you have each other's like Switch codes. Because I think I have an online code and you have an online code. If we add those with each other, it allows us to locally connect. Like our systems will just connect.
Yeah.
So we could do that too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, because I've been loving Switch Sports, which I will recommend. I don't know if you necessarily, I don't know. Okay, well, here's the thing. Do you like bowling?
Dude, I'll tell you what. I'm playing
His answer is Switch right now. This is a no.
I do like bowling. Oh, I'm not good at it, but I do enjoy it. But I play Mario Kart 8, and then I'll play, I downloaded the Nintendo emulator, so I'll be playing Punch-Out.
Oh, dude, I know. And if you pay for online, which I did because of I wanted the emulators, I got the N64, I got the Genesis, because they're all free.
Yeah.
As long as you have the online, it's all free, dude.
Yeah.
I was so happy going through N64 and finding Mario Golf.
Oh, dude, that game was so fun.
Dude, it's still fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get that one. Also the Sega one, because I love Sega.
Dude, they got Altered Beast on the Sega one, which I don't know if you remember that game.
Yeah,
but that game was pretty dope. And then they have, I don't think they have Echo the Dolphin. I never played that one, but they do have all the Genesis games. Dude. I think they got all the Sonics, Metal Slugs, I think.
Those are fun. All right, I think we're going to have to wrap this up.
Yeah, I think we're going to be wrapping up. And you know what, guys? I'm going to play you out with something. We couldn't afford the actual version of the song, so we are going to listen to the 8-bit version. This is I Will Return by the Black Dahlia Murder. Rest in peace, Trevor. You are loved.
Rest in peace, Trevor.
Keep it metal, guys, and we will see you next week.
Take care, buddy. I love you.
Love you, too. Raise your fucking hands.
Look at us freaking nerding over.
Fuck yeah, dude. But yeah, so that's how we end shit here. You can't sue me for 8-bit versions of songs, and if you can, I will see you in court. I will not see you in court. I probably will pay for settle for a public defender. And on that note, I love you, buddy. I'll see you next week. We'll do this again.